Turning your Bibles to the book of Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. I'm going to be preaching on tithing today. I'd said that last Sunday. Someone had requested that I do this. And anytime you have a suggestion or request for a certain sermon or on a certain topic, there's a couple of notebooks here up here. You feel free to write it in that. You don't have to put your name or anything, and that way you don't know who wrote it. But I do want us to look at tithing, and I want us to look at it from some things that would help us as we serve as Christians. Because last Sunday, if you remember, those that were here, I preached on why is it difficult or why can't I obey God? And certainly God asked us to be tithers. So Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to go on and read that right now. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Well, as we think about this for a moment, and as we look, I'm going to use an iPad because my ink on my printer is out right now. So, this makes it help. Hopefully, this will make it easier for me. But as we think about this passage, what is the most imperative thing that we can get out of this passage? Now, we know that immediately following, the Lord gives the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer for us, and we're not going to focus on that aspect today. But what is our relationship with others, our relationship with God, and our relationship with the things that we have? All of this wraps in, involves in our tithing. And so as I want us to look at this, what do we do? How do we do the imperative, so to speak? How do we do what we're talking about being imperative here? Well, as we think about that, in Matthew 6:33, which I didn't read, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." God gives ourselves, if we give ourselves primarily to God, then all things will come together. I've said before that sometimes people say, well, you know, we got the Ten Commandments, but, you know, those are Ten Commandments we've got to deal with. Well, if you love the Lord, your God first and foremost, everything else will fall into place. But sometimes we get that out of kilter and we don't understand it. But I want us to look at three groups here. And each group, I'm going to give you 10 things. So if you're taking notes, you can kind of jot those down. They're real quick, simple 10 things that I want to share with you. As we look at this passage, we know Jesus was saying it. If you have a red-lettered edition, it's in red. But the first is, I want to give you 10 negatives of giving. Now, we talk about giving. We just took up the offering, and we talk about, you know, we need to give to help the church with the church bills and so forth. But the first negative of giving is this. Don't give to give attention, get attention from other people. When the verse said there in verse 1, don't do your deeds, don't do your charitable deeds in order to impress others. Nobody in this room, I know, but have you ever known of someone that they would do something, they would give something because they're wanting to impress other people? We know people like that. And I'm not saying anybody in this room, but we know people that know that do things, whether it's giving or whether it's doing something, because they want to be impressive to others. They want other people to praise them. So don't give out of attention from other people. Don't let people control what you give. In verse 1, he says, to be seen by them. Don't give so that others will see what you do. Well, sometimes, you know, people feel like they are controlled. There is a church in Atlanta, in College Park. I've never been to it. I rode by it. It's a humongous church. It's called World Changers International. The pastor's name, Creflo Dollar. He's a black guy. You may have seen him on television. I've never paid attention to him because he's not my style of preaching. But anyway, a friend of mine went to his church a couple of times, and she said, I did not think that was a good church. I did not like it. And I said, why? What was it? What was it about? I mean, it's a mixed congregation. He's black. It's a black church, but there's white people there too. And she said, well, to be a member of that church, you have to show your W-2s. And you have to sign a commitment that if you don't give at least 10th of your W-2 each year, you would be kicked out of the church. I don't think that's what God had in mind. But see, that's control. Because if you don't give, he says, you'll be kicked out of the church. You will not be welcome at this church anymore, according to what my friend said. Third thing on our list of 10 negatives is don't be hypocritical in giving. What does the word hypocrite mean? It means two-faced or like an actor. Now, back in ancient times when they would, the Greeks and even probably the Romans, when they would do their plays, they would either hold a mask up to their face or they would put a mask on their face because they were acting as something different than who they were. That's what hypocrite means. Like the movie and play, Phantom of the Opera. I've seen different versions of play. I've seen different versions of the movie. My favorite is Andrew Lloyd Webber's. But he wears a mask because his face had been disfigured through, I think it was acid or something. But let's come into modern times. Do we have hypocrites today? Yes, we do. And there are hypocrites even in the church. A number of years ago, a church that I pastored, one of the ladies, one of the Sunday school teachers in the church, and her husband was a leader as well in the church, she said, would you go visit my grown daughter? She works at the bank, and invite her to church. She won't come when I invite her. Maybe she'll come if you would invite her. So I go to the bank. I make an appointment. She was an executive banker. I made an appointment to see her. And I said, I'd like to invite you to come to church. And, you know, your mother and father are there. And she said, I'm not coming to your church. She said, there are hypocrites in your church. I said, well, that's true. There are hypocrites in every church. And she said, no, you don't understand. My father and his three brothers and others, they are hypocrites. On Sunday, they act like they are spiritual. They act like they are religious. But during the week, they don't act that way. And I don't want to spend my Sundays with hypocrites. I said, well, you know what? I'd rather spend a Sunday with hypocrites than to spend eternity with hypocrites in hell. She didn't come to church. But I did know that, yes, her father and her uncles were all hypocrites. Because they would act one way on Sunday, and during the week, they acted totally different. So I know they were hypocrites. But you know, Jesus said, don't be hypocritical in your giving. Don't put on a mask like you're somebody special or you're something unique. You be who you are, basically. Fourth thing is, don't call attention to your gift. He said, do not announce it like with a trumpet. Now, I can't quite understand, you know, I guess maybe people would, in that day and time, they would, you know, have someone playing a trumpet or a tambourine or something, you know, kind of drawing attention. I mean, certainly if you were walking down the street and someone's playing a trumpet or a trombone or a tambourine or whatever, you're going to pay attention to what's going on. Well, Jesus says, don't draw attention to your giving. Now, I've said before, there was a man in a church one time that I knew. He was a wealthy man. He would fan 10 $100 bills in an offering envelope, write his name in big letters, and put it face up. He was drawing attention. He's blowing a trumpet. He wasn't physically blowing a trumpet, but he was blowing a trumpet advertising who he was and what he could do. So don't do that, Jesus says. Don't draw attention to your giving. Don't make a fanfare out of just give what you feel led to give. The sixth thing is, don't forget the real focus of giving. In verse 1, we could say that could mean talking about gifts of mercy. Well, God gives gifts of mercy. And we need to take our giving the way God would want us to give. Number 7 is, don't forget the motive of your giving. For the Father in heaven knows what's on your heart. What is our motive when we give? When the offering plate is passed and we put, whether it's $2 or $10 or $1,000, what is our motive for giving? We certainly know that we give to help pay the light bill. We give to help us pay the heat and the gas. We give to help others. We give to pay my salary. We give for various reasons, our motives there. But don't forget the motive of your giving. Don't lose the rightful reward. The Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Now, if we give with the right motive, God's going to bless us. God's going to give us what we desire, as long as it's in his will there. Then don't calculate what you will get out of it. Do not let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't calculate. If I do this, do I get a tax break? Don't think about that. There was a lady, elderly lady in a church one time, and she was very faithful. She was in her 80s. She had a grown daughter in her 60s that had Down syndrome that probably was not much more intelligent than, say, a 5 or 6 year old. Well, the mother, she had a stroke, and she was no longer able to drive. So she would, from her home, she would watch a program on TV, you know, whatever church had and our church didn't have television as far as, you know, live streaming or anything like that. So she would watch some of the bigger churches out of Augusta that was on television. But she would call me and she'd say, "Preacher, would you come by and pick up my tithe for the church?" And I went by and she had it put cash in an envelope. And I said, "Don't you need to write your name and the amount on?" She said, "No, I don't want you and I don't want anybody else knowing what I give. What I give is between me and God." She says, "God says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing." And I appreciated that. In fact, I learned a lesson from that. I don't write checks. I haven't written a check in years. I don't even have checks. But when I give cash, and I don't expect to get a tax return break on it. I don't give for, you know, how that's going to show up on my tax records. Even my tax accountant says, don't you have your giving record to the church? I said, that's not even figured into the equation, because I give to the Lord, not to get something back from off of my taxes. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, okay? You can, if you need that, that's fine, okay? Do that. I'm just telling you what I do and what I chose to do. Number 10 is, don't get God mad at you. No reward from your Father in heaven. Wouldn't it be bad for God to be upset with you? Wouldn't it be bad for God to be mad at you? I saw this thing, I think it was on one of the social media platforms yesterday. I see it every once in a while where they have someone that, like an image of Jesus, and it says, "If you ignore this, I will never forgive you again." God doesn't say that. He never says, you know, if you do this or do that, I'm never going to forgive you again. God doesn't say that. He's willing to forgive us, but we can get God upset when we don't do what he asks us to do. When we ignore what he's telling us to do, he can get mad at us. And sometimes the punishment can come there. Well, the next thing is that I want us to look at is 10 responsibilities in giving. The first is, you are in control of your money when you give. You're in control of how you give, of what you want to give, and don't let someone else tell you. Now, the Bible tells us, and we'll look at this verse in a minute, of giving a tenth to the Lord. But don't let others kind of control your money. Second one is, you give according to what you have. Your giving is not related to the things that you don't have. You give according to what you have. One time in a church in Mississippi when I was pastor and as a student, the whole association of churches that we were involved in was doing a food drive, a canned food drive to help the food bank that would help feed the needy people. And there was a woman in that church, and she and her husband were multimillionaires. In fact, her husband was one of the hypocrites that the other young lady earlier had said, my uncle is a hypocrite. Well, anyway, I remember when we had a box at the front door, and when the wealthy lady came in, she had two, I remember this so clearly, and this has been 40 years ago or longer, she had two bent cans of corn, and I mean accordion bent cans, not a little ding, bent over. And she put them in the box, and she said, well, I've done my part. I said, you could have bought the entire grocery store and not even missed a dime. The very next woman that came in was one of the elderly women of the church. She was so poor, she didn't even have a car. Somebody had to go get her to bring her to church. And she came in, she had a bag that had about six or seven cans in it. She looked at me, didn't say a word. She put it in that box. Tears were streaming down my eyes. I said, you need that worse than anybody. And she just shook her head and went to her pew. Which one gave from their heart? The elderly lady. So as we give, give according to what you have. Your giving is not related to the things that you don't have. Now, time, a sub-point there. Time is something every one of us have. Every single person alive in the world today has 24 hours in a day. We all have the same time. Now, how we use that time, sometimes we say, well, I just don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. I was talking with a friend this week, and I was in Walmart, and this lady was in a motorized scooter, and she was in the paint department, and looked like she was trying to reach up, but she couldn't. I said, can I help you? And she asked me a paint question. I said, well, I'm not the one to really answer that question. I said, you know, I was going to get something off the shelf for you, but, you know, probably it'd be best to go to Lowe's and talk to someone in the paint department for what she was wanting to paint. And I said, I think I know you. I said, my name's John Forrester. She said, I do know you. And I hadn't seen this woman in years. I probably hadn't seen this woman in 20 years. But we began to talk, and we probably talked about 30 minutes. And she's very involved in her church over in Rocky Ford. And she said, you know, we just don't have people come to church. I said, well, I pastor the church. We run, you know, like we've got 19 here today, I think. I said, we don't run very many at our church, but we're there. We're faithful. Those that come are faithful. She said, well, the thing that I see is people say they don't have time for church, but they have time to go deer hunting or go fishing or go to the lake or go to a sporting event, but they don't have time for the church. I agreed. I said, you're right 100% there. But then there's also talents. God's given us talents that we can use. I can't play the piano. Sorry, Pat, I can't play the piano. You can. Brenda and Zelfia and the girls and Cody, they can sing. I can sing, but I'm not as good as they are. But we're training and growing up those young girls to be mighty singers for the Lord. We have talents. Some can teach. Some can work the electronics. Some can do this, some can do that. You see, God takes all of our talents and he uses them. And don't regret when you can't play the piano. Don't regret when you can't sing. Just do whatever God's given you the talent to do. And then another sub-point here is treasure. We all have resources. Now, I know some of you might be saying, I don't have any treasures. May not have physical treasures, but you do have treasures. If you ever get to go to a third world country, like I've been to many, and been in areas where you tourists don't even go, and you think, man, I got a lot of treasures. I got a house. You ever slept in a cardboard house? I got food in the pantry. Have you ever ate garbage out of a dumpster? Well, we got a lot of treasures. Really, we do. But how do we use those treasures? Do we use them for the glory of the Lord, or do we say, well, I just don't have anything to give? Well, let's go back to our points here. The third one is, you give according to what you know, whether it's to be seen or to be known. I mean, you give to what you know because you know what God's going to do if you give with a proper heart. You're responsible to direct your giving. When you give, that verse there that says, when you give, when you do charitable deeds, you're the one that's responsible. You give according to need, charitable need. Everybody in this room has had somebody come up to you and begging for money. Sometimes I give. Sometimes I don't give. If I smell something on them and they're saying, I need food, I'm not the one to help you because I'm smelling something else, either alcohol or marijuana. But sometimes I have actually seen someone and I felt in my heart, you need to give. And I may not have had much, but I'd give what I could to help. And yet, what really hurts is when you give to someone and they immediately go and buy alcohol or they immediately go buy cigarettes. I hate it when someone comes up to me and they're holding a cigarette in their hand and they say, could you give me some money to buy food? Well, if you can buy that cigarette, I don't know what they cost, but they're not cheap. You ought to be able to buy something to eat. But, you know, as we think about this, charitable deeds, there are people all around us. In Alaska, when we lived in Alaska and we'd go to Anchorage, there would be panhandlers on the street with signs up begging for money. They outlawed it. But we found out that most of the panhandlers on the street begging for food lived up on the mountainside in $500,000 houses. But they were down there begging for money. Number six is you can give timely. In 1 John 3:17, it says, anyone who sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart. Now, you can't be responsible when you don't know what their need is. But give according to the urgency. Let the Lord lead you and guide you if you help someone in need. I know people I could name right now. They'll help you. They'll do whatever they can to help you in their time, in your time of need. And they're calling me about middle of the month saying, is there any way you can help me because I've, you know, ran out of money? I got two different families that do that every single month. By the middle of the month, they've ran out of money and they're asking for money. And if I can, I try to help them out a little bit. Number seven, you give proportionately. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give more than what you want to have. And you must give to your family first. In 1 Timothy 5:8, it talks about if anyone does not provide for his own household, he is worse than an unbeliever. Sometimes you have to give sacrificially. Your Heavenly Father, according to Matthew 6:32, your Heavenly Father knows what you need, all the needs that you have. A friend of mine knows, you know, that Satan's been attacking us. And just about every other day, she texts me and says, keep faithful. Keep being faithful. You will get past this. And you know what? That's something all of us probably need to be reminded of. And then you make God first in your money, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will come into place, as we read earlier. And then the 10th one is, you know God will take care of your needs. If God so clothes the grass of the field, will he not clothe you as well? Verse 30 of chapter 6. We didn't read that passage, but that's what it says. You know, I heard someone use that Billy Graham expression this week in a men's conference I went to. Billy Graham once said, I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. Well, we just have to trust God in all these situations. Then the third group that I want us to look at is 10 positive relationships with God that come as a result of giving. The first is the Father gives to you before he asks. Before he asks you to give to others. In Malachi 3:10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that's the church. And we also told there about a tenth in the book of Malachi. The Father knows your needs as well as the needs of others, and your Father knows the things that you have need of. What do you need? The Father already knows it. But share it with him. Tell it to the Lord. The Father wants to care for you as much as caring for others. Everybody's important to God. It's not, this person's more important because they're rich, and this person's less important because they're poor. God cares for each and every one of us, regardless of the situation that we are in. He still loves us. Number four is the Father can direct you to know how to help others. When you give something to a needy person, the Father knows how to help, give you the strength, how to help you to help others. Sometimes, you know, it's like, I'll just use this illustration. It wasn't even something I planned. But before last weekend, the window on my driver's side slipped off the rack. I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I looked in there like, this is totally foreign to me. But Rich came over after church Sunday, and we got it back in the track where we could at least roll the window up. But if you let it back down, it'd fall out again, so we just left it up. But, what if Rich hadn't helped me? I would have just had to been driving around hot because the air conditioner don't work neither, and wouldn't been able to let the window down. Well, I've since got it fixed this week, but sometimes, see, it's helping others. It's part of giving as well. Yes, we can give a tenth of what we have financially, but sometimes helping others is also giving abilities that we can do to help other people. A friend of mine said, I need some fencing to make a dog kennel outside my house. I said, I just happen to have a roll of fencing, and I took it to them the other day. And he said, what's that? And I said, that's the fencing you asked for. Oh, I forgot you were even going to bring me any fencing. But I did. I could have sold that and made some money, but no, I gave him the fencing because he needed that to build his dog kennel. The Father can help you, direct you when you give to a needy person. Number five, the Father wants you to grow by giving to others. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, passed down, shaken together, and running over. Luke 6:38. If you take a glass of water and it's not full, it's half. Is your glass of water half full or half empty? Is your life half full or is it half empty? Or is it flowing over? How's your life? Only you can answer that. Now, the Father wants us to give as a good relationship with others as we have with him. If you help the poor, then you're lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19. If you give to the Lord, you're helping others. Now, let me bring that issue back up about the canned goods. Sometimes you give canned goods or food items, maybe to a food bank. Here's one thing don't do. If it's out of date, don't give it. Okay? You wouldn't want to eat it if it was way out of date. If it's all bent up, don't give it. You wouldn't want it. Don't clean out your pantry and say, well, you know, I haven't cleaned it out in months, and I'll take it to a local food bank. If you don't want it, if it's out of date, if it's bented, if it's bloated, somebody else doesn't need it either. I heard one time that someone called the Butterball Company, Butterball Turkey Company, and said, how long is a turkey good for in the freezer? Well, if it's kept at zero, it would probably be good for a few years. Why? And the person said, well, I found this turkey, and it was like 20-something years old. And he said, I wouldn't eat that. And he said, so what'd you do with it? I gave it to the local food bank. If you wouldn't eat it, why should someone else eat it? So be careful how you give, if you give like canned goods or food products to someone else. First Baptist Church of Sylvania, Georgia. I don't know if they still have it. I haven't been in the office in several years there. But there was a number of years ago, before I ever went to Alaska, in fact, they had a huge gallon-sized can of peanut butter in the office. I said, what is that for? And they said, it's there as an illustration. They said, look at the date on it. The date expired in the 60s. And they said someone had just recently given it to the church to give to, I don't know that I'd want to eat peanut butter that went out of date in the 60s. But anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. The Father, number seven, the Father rewards those who are generous givers. I will open the windows of heaven and pour blessings on you. Malachi 3:10 says, generous givers. I knew a man one time. He's dead. I actually had a part in leading him to the Lord. He was an elderly man. He was a sheriff. He was a very profane man until he accepted Christ. After he accepted Christ, there was someone needed a trailer to start a ministry of disaster relief, going from place to place where there was disasters and doing relief. And he said, we need a trailer. And I remember this elderly man that I'm speaking of, he handed him a blank check. He said, fill it in for what you need. He said, we're talking thousands of dollars. He said, I didn't ask you how much. I just said, fill it in and buy what you need. He was a very generous man. And later I was able to lead him to the Lord and baptize him. He even preached his funeral. And quickly, as I wrap it up here, the Father will add nothing extra to our giving when our motives are wrong. They have their reward, the scripture tells us. And the Father will reward openly when our giving motives are right. And we see that in verse 4 of Matthew 6. And then finally, I end with this. Giving requires faith that God will keep his promise to take care of us. When you do kindness openly, your Father will reward you openly. Giving is a part of the church. It's a part of being a Christian. And I hope that when you give, if you give a dollar, but you're giving it with the right motive from your heart, the Lord blesses that dollar. If you give $1 million, if it's given from the right motive, God blesses you in that as well. God blesses when we are obedient to what he asks us to do. And he's asked us to be tithers. And you know, I don't come to you and say, how much did you give? I don't look at the records. I don't look at Angelina's records and say, you know, so-and-so's giving this or giving that. I don't do that. That way, when I preach on tithing, I don't have to be worried, are they going to be upset because I'm stepping on their toes? God's stepping on your toes, not me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this message today and reminding us about tithing. Lord, we can tithe and not just in giving of money, but of giving of time and talents and so forth. And Father, we really just scratched the surface here, but there's so much that you can still teach us. And so continue to teach us, Lord, as we serve you. Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to make a decision for you, may they do so today. Even if it's just a prayer request, may they do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.